first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream.
Yeah, welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Thursday morning. We do appreciate you listening. Still to come on the program, Alabama Senate President Pro Tem Greg Reed and Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall. That's in the next hour, so make sure you stay tuned for that. But joining us now, a gentleman I haven't seen in a number of years, but always good to catch up with. You may know him from the Trump president, from the Trump White House, and from the campaign. Stephen Miller joins us on the line. Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Hey, it's great to talk with you again, and it's a real privilege to be on your show this morning.
It's a privilege to get you on here. We do appreciate it. Let me just kick it off like this. Since the last time we talked, it's probably been about 5 or 6 years. You've been busy. How are things going?
Everything's going as well as can be expected. Obviously, we're very concerned, maybe a better word is deeply alarmed, by what's happening to the country under the Biden administration. And a big part of the reason why I wanted to come on your show today was because Alabama is in a unique position to do something about it. Fate has put you in the position of having a gentleman named Mo Brooks in your congressional delegation that you can elevate to the United States Senate, and he will be the single greatest warrior in the whole of the U.S. Senate for the values and principles that we all care about, whether it's free speech, the right to bear arms, secure borders, religious liberty, you name it, Mo's going to be there for you.
Yeah, you've very early on gotten on the decided to support Congressman Brooks. You were at his big announcement last week up at Bullet and Barrel in Huntsville. You seem very sold on Congressman Brooks, but it looks to me like right now he may be the front runner.
Well, one of the things that we know is that Mo has developed a reputation for fearlessness during his time in Congress, and that is a character trait that the people of Alabama truly value. So I'm not surprised at all to see that he's leapt out to front-runner status. But I'll just make this point. As somebody who has had, perhaps you might say, the misfortune of living in Washington, D.C. Since the age of 22, what I can tell you is that if you want to send a message to Washington that they will not be able to ignore, it's lining up and supporting Mo Brooks in record numbers. If they see Alabamians come out and support Mo to a historic degree so that he doesn't just win the primary, he crushes it, that will send a unmistakable message to the radical left in D.C. They will be talking about that inside the West Wing of the Biden administration, and they'll be saying, holy crap, Alabama just sent the greatest fighter they could possibly find to try to stop the Biden agenda. And that's a really exciting thing for Alabama to be in that position because, you know, too often in these primaries all across the country, you're just choosing between one sleepy Republican versus another sleepy Republican. And Mo isn't just fearless, but he knows his issues cold. And nobody is more educated on the border crisis than Mo Brooks. And if you want to stop the border crisis, you're going to need to elect people who are going to go to the Senate and use the considerable power of the Senate to try to shut this thing down on our border.
Well, Stephen, and we'll get to the border in just a second. What's in the message to, I think, a lot of Democrats in Washington, but here at home in Alabama, and it's, you see this all throughout the country, where the it's the big business, the Chamber of Commerce, these entities that, you know, the Country Club Republican Smart Set, they turn their nose up at guys like Congressman Brooks. They also, your former boss Jeff Sessions also took a lot of heat from those guys. That in some ways in Republican politics we need to reinforce that too, that what Donald Trump brought to the table as far as the Republican Party goes isn't going away.
That's exactly right. The Trump Republican Party is here to stay. That's the future. Some people are late to getting that message. Of course, Mo Brooks, for the last 4 years, had Donald Trump's back in every single fight. And he wasn't just supporting the president, but he was in there, in the arena, putting his time, his energy, and his passion into fighting these issues and taking on, as you mentioned, the Chamber of Commerce and other big business interests. But that's the fundamental question. I just want to really zero in on this. Is the future of the Republican Party going to belong to everyday Alabama patriots who get up in the morning, go to work, put in an honest day's labor, and provide for themselves and their families, and all of the parents out there raising children and supporting their communities and upholding our Judeo-Christian values? Is that the future of the party? Or is it powerful multinational corporations that don't share our values, that don't share our beliefs, that don't share our interests, that only care about getting just a little bit more money for themselves, even if it means jobs and factories are going to China, even if it means that our wealth is being siphoned off by foreign countries? That's the core issue here. And Mo Brooks will be a thunderous declaration from the people of Alabama that the future of the Republican Party and the future of the country belongs to your listeners and their neighbors and their family and their children and their loved ones, and not the special interests in Washington, D.C. that I have been around and seeing firsthand for years and can tell you they're even worse than you think.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the Chamber of Commerce, and you know, we could go back and you kind of track the Chamber of Commerce over the last 10, 15, 20 years, and they don't there's no ideological core there. They go wherever business, wherever the wind blows, whatever's best for business, and you could tell that by right now. They seem to be leaning toward all of the woke socialism and all of these other policies, and not really where the bread is buttered in the Republican Party right now.
Yeah, I mean, ask yourself this question: is the Chamber of Commerce going to stand up for the right of girls and women to have sports leagues that are for girls and women only? Is the Chamber of Commerce going to stand up for your right to keep and bear arms? Is the Chamber of Commerce going to stand up for your right to have a sovereign, secure border without illegal immigration? Is the Chamber of Commerce going to stand up for your right not to be canceled, blacklisted, shadow banned, have your voice taken away? Of course not. But you know who is? Mo Brooks.
Yeah, and he's proven that over the years, made a lot of enemies doing so. But I think that is it's evidence.
By the way, that's another message I want to give.
Right.
Again, as someone who's spent, again, arguably, it's my misfortune, but I've spent my entire post-college adult life in Washington, D.C., and I can tell you the best way to judge whether your elected leader is doing something that matters is whether or not they are stirring up meaningful opposition. If you have elected somebody that doesn't have very powerful opponents, then they're probably not doing anything. Whereas if you elect somebody like Mo Brooks, and the New York Times comes after him, and the Washington Post comes after him, and the Democrat Party comes after him, that usually means, and certainly means in the case of Mo Brooks, that they are doing the right thing. And Mo has put his name and his whole reputation into fighting the good fight for the people of Alabama, and he has the battle scars in Washington to prove it.
Yeah, and just kind of put a period on that whole point there, though. The way corporate America is trying to, I mean, before it was just kind of shamelessness with the border and what that does, immigration, what that does to our labor markets. But we even see it now with the cozying up to the Democratic Party on all of these social issues, particularly what's going on in Georgia, that you really need mm-hmm. someone that's going to push back against that influence in Washington, D.C., which is it's so pervasive.
Yeah, the left has formed an alliance with corporate America, and it's a very powerful alliance, right? And you see it with, for example, the efforts to, again, I mentioned the issue of women's athletics, but you see it in the issue of trying to bully states into having men compete in women's sports. You know, it's something we would have never imagined could be a live political issue, and yet here we are. You see it in terms of trying to bully states into allowing for elections to take place without basic security measures like voter ID. And so when you have an alliance that powerful with the corporate media progressive alliance, it's not enough to send, like I said, the sleepy country club Republican to Washington. I'm not saying they're bad people. We know a lot of them. We probably like a lot of them. And they'd probably make a great bridge partner or whatever other recreational activity. You know, get around a golf together. You know, go to a football game. They're great, fun people to be around. But that doesn't mean you want your children's liberty and your children's freedom and your whole entire future depending upon what they're going to do in Washington. The person that you choose to go literally be the last line of defense for your freedom better be somebody as fearless and courageous as Mel Brooks. Otherwise, we have nobody to blame but ourselves if our special American way of life is destroyed.
Joined by former Trump speechwriter, advisor Stephen Miller here on the program. Stephen, let's talk about the specifics of the border. I think we've all seen the images there, and it obviously has not gone as the Biden administration has planned. But do you get the sense that, you know, Biden's sworn in and they have gone into this situation with border security, with immigration? We're just going to reverse everything Trump did 180 degrees because orange mad bad, and we're going to go in the opposite direction. And then now we get to see this is kind of what you get when you do that.
Yes, yeah, so I think you have two phenomena that are taking place that are leading to these horrendous and calamitous policy decisions. The first, as you mentioned, is a sort of reflexive anti-Trump attitude of, well, if Trump secured the border, then we're going to unsecure the border. And if Trump enacted deals to send illegal immigrants to foreign countries, then we're going to terminate those deals and let them all into our country. But then you have a second group of people that is far more deliberate, purposeful, far more strategic in their choices. These are the diehard left-wing ideologues whose objective is to have as much illegal immigration as possible through any means possible. So just like in the Trump administration, you had people, myself included, whose objective was to get as close to no illegal immigration as possible, right? To have a completely secure border with the objective of releasing zero illegal immigrants into the country, right? Now you have people in power whose true and actual objective is to admit as many illegal immigrants as possible. And if just to think about this in numerical terms, you're probably releasing more illegal immigrants today into the country on a weekly basis than the size of entire towns in Alabama. I mean, it is just breathtaking, the numbers of people that are coming into the country that are being released immediately or within a matter of days into the country. Now, that's obviously a public safety crisis. That's obviously an economic crisis. That's obviously a financial crisis in terms of its impact on our nation's tax dollars and our nation's long-term fiscal sustainability. But it's also a moral crisis, because the fundamental duty of government, its fundamental moral obligation, is to protect its own citizens, including the citizens of Alabama. And when a government fails in that obligation or purposely tears up that social contract and favors illegal aliens over Americans, then they have violated their moral duty to Americans. And I've never met anybody in Congress who understands that fact better than, yes, Mel Brooks.
Yeah, and this is something that you guys really hammered when you worked for Senator Sessions at the time. But when you have this kind of lax immigration policy, lax border control policy, there's the economic costs associated with that we've talked about. But I think people look around, they don't, the way their communities have changed, and a couple of places like Russellville, Alabama, Albertville, Alabama, they really, you know, you see the demographic shift and it changes your hometown, that suddenly you start paying more attention to immigration policy and wanting to at least maybe slow it down, pump the brakes a little bit. You don't like all this change all at once. That leads to problems. I mean, schools have to hire, bilingual teachers, and, it puts a burden on the local communities, not just at the border or places beyond, but, you know, here closer to home.
Yeah, I mean, so here's how I would answer that. The every nation has a right to establish and enforce rules for entry. And those rules are made for good, common sense reasons. Among them, for example, you want to make sure that newcomers to your country have a good chance to get a proper education, to learn the language, to learn the nation's values, and to become full participating members in American society, right? That's our goal. That's the whole idea of what has been termed the melting pot, the idea of newcomers becoming part of the national fabric of the country. In effect, they're adopted into our society to revere our founders and to share our values, to support our Constitution, and to become full members of our democracy. When you have an uncontrolled immigration policy, it breaks down the machinery of that integration that is so important for the success of any immigration policy. And so you end up hurting people on both sides of the equation. You hurt the newcomers because their classrooms are too crowded, the economic marketplace is too swamped with labor, the opportunities for upward mobility are reduced, and so they can't participate in the American dream. And then the people who are already living here, including many immigrants themselves, are then having to pay for the enormous cost of this uncontrolled immigration, and then it affects their children's ability to rise economically. So it's not good for anybody. So this isn't about being pro-immigrant or anti-immigrant. It's about being pro-success. It's about having a policy that benefits immigrants and people living here today and all the people who'd like to be here tomorrow. And you can't accomplish that objective when the wheels just fall off the system and there's no rules and it's just total chaos and anarchy.
Hey, Stephen, well, we're out of time. We got to leave it there. But we appreciate you making time for us, and maybe we get you on again throughout this campaign cycle.
Absolutely. And everyone, get out there and support Mo.
All right. Former Trump advisor Stephen Miller to Purim. We got to get a commercial break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
We fired our guns and the British kept a coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago.